Let's read from Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones.
Father's Day, I tell you. Father's Day is a good day. I thought it probably began many years ago as kind of an add-on to Mother's Day. That Mother's Day came first, and then somebody said, well, we need to think about dads now and then. And so they decided to add it on. A number of years ago, they used to have a wonderful commercial with Bear Bryant, and he would come on Mother's Day and talk about calling his mother. And of course, it was for the AT&T or somebody. And how he wished he could call his mother. Well, they did a study about calls, you know, on Mother's Day and on Father's Day. And they found that there were as many calls on Father's Day back in those days as there were on a Mother's Day. Both of them were about the same, except that on Father's Day, whenever people made calls, most of them called collect. And that's just the kind of the way it is sometimes when you think about those kinds of things. How important our fathers are, and how wonderful a day it is to remember them and to recognize what they have done in our lives. Where would we be without our fathers? Where would we be without godly men who cared enough for us to train us and teach us and to open up doors for us to be able to do the things that God wants us to do? Trusting in the Lord is so important. He doesn't say just trust in the Lord. He says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Every part of you. Everything inside of you. Trust in the Lord. And I tell you, this day and time, that's the most important thing that we can do. I worry that we're living in a society that is more and more beginning to forget God. A society that has begun to look in other directions and stop fearing Him. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, and that's hard to do. Most of us, we live in a world that if we want to know something, all we have to do is open up our smartphone and we can find out right then. We live in a world where science has become complicated and we have good educations, and it's easy for us to lean on our own understanding. But when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to morality, when it comes to relationships, God has the only answers that can lead you to heaven. And He has the most important answers. And it's amazing, every so often, as I've watched through the last 40-some-odd years, people say, oh, there's been a scientific study, and they tell what the study says, and you could have read that in your Bible to begin with. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding in all your ways. You know, the Bible is a very practical book about all of life. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I have one great fear that in our day and time, we have forgotten God. Jackie and I drove quite a little distance from the hotel where we worshiped this morning in Kingfisher and heard a nice lesson about fathers. And it was amazing that there were people out there, and some of them were learning how to drive their motorcycles, and others were going fishing, and others were doing this, and others were doing that. And I wonder, do you remember that today is the Lord's Day? Trust in the Lord and all with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And I wonder if some of the biggest problems that are going on in our world today is because we have situations where people have forgotten God. You know, if you forget God, you might start thinking about other things, and all of a sudden they can so overwhelm you that you lose a sense of purity and a sense of really direction and a sense of what really matters in life. This week we We're all saddened by another act of violence. And you had to wonder if maybe this person had God in his life and maybe he had forgotten him. You know, when you forget God and you forget his ways and you forget his beliefs and his teaching, there are an awful lot of struggles and troubles and miseries and teardrops ahead. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. And then he says, fear the Lord. It's not just imagine of remembering that he's there and acknowledging. Now he says, fear him. Trust him. Acknowledge him. And now fear him and turn away from evil. You know what? It'll be healing to your flesh and it'll be refreshment to your bones. The inside of your heart, the inside of your life will be so much better if God is in your heart and God is in your life than if you lose that relationship. When we think about trust, we ask the question, well, what is trust? Trust is reliance on somebody. You rely on somebody. You're dependent on that person. And you have confidence that whatever they tell you is true. That whatever they tell you and promise to you, they're going to do. And God is that kind of a being. That he's trustworthy. You know, there are a lot of things in life that are not trustworthy. I love my football team, but they don't win every time. I love a lot of things, but it doesn't always work out the way I think it ought to work out. But I know one thing about God. God is consistent and God is the same. And God will never lie to you. God will never deceive you. God will never give you a false hope. Everything he tells you will be true and you can trust it. I like what Jeremiah says when he talks about the things of life. Jeremiah 9 verses 23 and 4, he says, and God is speaking here, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. No, it's not really that great. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Oh, it'll be there for a little while, but it'll go away after a while. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Well, those riches can be here today and gone tomorrow. But let him who boasts, I want you to boast in this, he says, that he understands and that he knows me. Do you know God? Do you understand him? Have you grown close to him? He says that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love. That's why you can trust him. Because his love is not just a love, it's a steadfast love. It's a sworn love. It's a love that doesn't go away tomorrow. It's steadfast. I'm a God of justice. I'm going to be doing what's fair and right. And I'm a God of righteousness. And I do all of these things, I practice all these things in the earth, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord. That's why you can trust God. And why we need to depend upon God. Why when we pray, we ought to believe that God will answer our prayers. The Lord Jesus said in Mark 11 and verse 24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe. Believe that you have received them. That is, that God has already given them to you. They shall be granted you. That's a pretty strong promise. Pretty strong promise. A lot of times people want to be self-reliant. That they think that if they can have enough training and they have enough courses that'll teach them how to do this and how to strategize and how to make this happen and how to make that happen, they don't really need the Lord, but they're only fooling themselves. We need the Lord, every one of us. It was February the 28th. That's the end of the month, and the CPA had come in and he had looked at how much money we had brought in the month of February. And we were $106,000 short of what we needed. And Chris and I kind of shook our head. And sometimes people will wonder, how do you raise funds? And we have to raise about $3.5 million a year. That's $10,000 a day. And to be short, $106,000, that's a bunch. And we kind of shook our head a little bit. And You ask, well, how do we raise funds? We do it on our knees. We pray for it. Well, that was February 28th, just a couple of months ago on March the 2nd. We received a phone call from an individual who had wanted to drill on some land that we owned the mineral rights on, and they said, can we drill there? We owned the mineral rights on 60 acres. The lady had given them to us, and we were thankful. And they said, okay. And that was worth $111,000. God met our needs. Let me tell you something. God will meet your needs if you'll pray to Him and ask Him. And you're going to use what you do for His work and for His cause. Sometimes praying and sometimes trusting in God involves a little risk. To trust in something means that you put something at a little bit of a risk and put it out there and you put it in the control of someone else. Every time I get on a plane, I risk my life at the hands of whoever is the pilot and the co-pilot. And so do you. When you get on a bus, you're putting your life into the hands of the person who's driving. And even if you're doing the driving yourself, you don't know what the guy on the other side of the road's going to do. We all have risks in life. And whenever we put our risks and we risk what we are and who we are with the Lord takes care of us. He's with us and He'll help us. I think of the Apostle Paul's statement in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. He says, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Now you and I, when we become Christians, we're putting our souls in the hands of God. We're putting our future in the hands of God. When we become Christians, we're actually giving ourselves to Him and we become His. And the blood of Jesus purchases us body, soul, and spirit. But we can have faith and we can have confidence that what we have entrusted, He will see through, that He will keep His promises. Let me ask you, have you trusted your soul to God? Have you trusted your spirit to God? Have you entrusted your life to God? When I think about trust, I think about how it involves not leaning on my own understanding or on my own abilities. Psalm 20 and verse 7 says very simply that some trust in chariots and some in horses, speaking of the days of battle. But David said, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some will trust in the atomic bomb, and some will trust in this, and some will trust in that. But you know what? David is saying, I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord my God. I think that's a pretty strong statement. Psalm 34 and verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. There is a time to pray and to put our souls in the hand of God. And I think it's an important day in a person's life when that person realizes that God is wiser than we are, that God can see things that we can't see, that God knows things that we don't know, and that God is stronger than we are, and better than we are, and that God will always do what is best. That's trusting in God. If I think about trusting, it means trusting what He tells me. You can't trust somebody if you can't trust His Word. And trusting God means trusting His Word. You can't separate God from His Word. Some people say, I want Jesus, but don't give me Bible. Let me tell you something. You wouldn't know anything about Jesus were it not for the Bible and what the Bible teaches. Everything that you know about God, everything you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, comes right back down to what you can read in His Word. And that His Word is trustworthy. Psalm 18 verse 30 says, this God, oh, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. Again, Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God proves true. And He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. preacher went to visit an old saint, a person who'd been a member of the church a long time, and he was picking up his Bible. And the preacher was looking through the Bible, and he kept looking down through here, and he kept seeing all of these things where he would write in the margin of his Bible, and he'd have the letter T. And then a little bit later on, he'd have the letter TP. And again, P and T and all of this. And he said, well, what is he talking about? Well, that passage is where I tried that for the T. And the P is where it proved to be true. You know what? The more you try the Word of God, the more you will see that it proves to be true and right and good. We can trust God to keep His Word because, first of all, God is all-powerful. He can do things you can't do, things that I can't do and no one can do. The things that are impossible for you are not impossible for Him. Mark 10 and verse 27, Jesus looked at them and He said, with man it's impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. God can do all things that we can't do. You and I may be able to do a few things, but God can do all things. And that's a big difference. Another reason to trust God is because God is wise. God's been around a long time, and there isn't anything He hasn't seen once or twice and maybe 10,000 times. And because God is wise and He knows the future and He knows how things are going to turn out, His perspective is so much better than ours. And when He tells us something that is true and honest, we can believe it because He's seen it happen before. And He knows people. He knows you. He knows me. He knows all of our weaknesses. He knows the words that are on our lips before we ever speak them. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows everything that goes on in our lives. And whenever He speaks, we can believe in Him and in His wisdom. I think of Romans 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable are His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that it might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. God is wise. God doesn't have to have somebody to tell Him. God already knows. He knows what you pray for before you pray for it. He already understands what you need. And when we pray to Him, even when we don't know what we need, He knows what we need. And if we ask Him to bless us according to our needs, He will do it in a way that is far better than what we ask for. So there are times when we had to have confidence in Him. But I think one of the great things about God is that God really loves me and He loves you. God is all loving and He'll take care of us. Romans 8 and verse 32 says that He who did not spare His own Son, now God would give up Jesus for you and for me, gave Him up for us all. Well, if He'd give up Jesus, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Do you think if He would withhold Jesus from us, He'll withhold other things from us? And the answer to that question is no. God loves us that much. And so we ask the question, what do you trust in if He's so good? If we have a God who doesn't lie, a God who loves us, a God who's all wise and all powerful, who are we going to trust? Who are we going to trust? Jeremiah 17, if you have your Bible, you may want to turn there and look at that a little bit. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 and 6. And here we have a contrast between trusting in the way men think. People who trust in man, people who trust in the way the world says things ought to be, a contrast between that and a trusting in God. And in those first two verses, 5 and 6, he says this. He says, "Thus says the Lord." Then he uses this word, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength." That is, he's really trusting in himself. "Whose heart turns away from the Lord, and he's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land." I don't think I would want to live there. It got too hot this week. Jackie and I were going to go up to the Great Salt Plain in Oklahoma. Did you know there was one? The Great Salt Plains? You can go up there and dig crystals. We had our shovel and bucket. But we decided it was just a little too warm to go this week. But you know what? If you've got salt there, you don't have anything else. Back in 2006, Jackie and I went to the Dead Sea, which is the saltiest body of water on the face of the earth, between 27 and 32% mineral content. They have various places there that harvest all of those minerals from the water and use them to sell and to do other types of things. But I thought about the Dead Sea, and dead is exactly right. In fact, not even grass grew within a half mile of the Dead Sea. There would be grass up other places, but not down by the sea. Nothing there could live. If you're in the Dead Sea, you don't splash. If you're in the Dead Sea, you don't swim. If you're in the Dead Sea, there are no fishing there. If you're in the Dead Sea, you can go there and soak a little bit, but you don't want it in your eyes and you don't want it in your mouth because it's horrible. It's a Dead Sea. There's nothing alive there. And the only way the water escapes from the Dead Sea is to evaporate, because it's the lowest place on the face of the earth, 1,300 feet below sea level, the Dead Sea. To live in a salt land means that nothing grows there. It's uninhabited. There's not any water there that you can drink. It's not the place that you want to be. But look at the contrast, verses 7 and 8. He says, "Blessed." Oh, God. When God calls you blessed, you are blessed indeed. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." What do you trust in? Oh, I trust the Lord. Paul said that he believed God when God made the promise that they would get through safely in Acts 27. I believe God. His trust is the Lord. Blessed is that man whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Oh, that's the place where you want to plant your trees, where the water is abundant, where the fruit can grow. That's where there's life. And I think about all of the folly that people have whenever they begin to trust in the wrong things. Sometimes people trust in riches. You can have all the money in the world and it won't buy you many, many things, and it won't get you to heaven. Proverbs 11:28 says, "Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf." Again, Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, "Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it's gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven." And that's the way it is whenever a person trusts in those things. Matthew 6, verse 19, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's where we want our heart, in the real treasure, the place where we can go and be with God. Verse 24 says that nobody can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and serve money or wealth or mammon at the same time. You can't do it. It won't work. Proverbs 28 says, whoever robs his father or his mother and says, well, this is no transgression, is a companion to a man who destroys. A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. That's good advice. What do you trust in? What do you trust in? 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs, many problems and hurts. Jackie and I had some very close friends many years ago. Still see them from time to time. But they were close friends. And while on one side of the coin he was a churchgoer, on the other side of the coin he had decided that he would get involved in a lot of illegal activity, and it brought in a bunch of money for him. And he began to steal, and he began to rob, and he began to do things where people would invest, and he didn't fulfill the investments. But you know what? Whenever you do something that's like that, where you have that desire to get rich quick, and you do things that are wrong, there comes a payday, a day when you get caught. And this fellow was caught. He never went to prison, but he did have time on probation. His wife divorced him. His children would have almost nothing to do with him. And he ended up a very lonely, very unhappy man. And a lot of it was because of his desires and what he set his heart on doing. The love of money can be a root of all kinds of evil, and it can really pierce people through and hurt them to their core. And that's why we need to commit ourselves to the Lord. Commit your work to the Lord, Proverbs 16 and verse 3, and your plans, what you dream, what you plan will be established. If God is with you and you're working within the will of God, God will help you to accomplish those plans and accomplish those things. Psalm 37, verses 1 to 7. He says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. We live in an evil world, and it seems like, oh, all of these people who do evil, it seems like how well they do. And here we try to do the right thing, and it doesn't work out like that. But he says, don't fret yourself because of evildoers, and be not envious of wrongdoers. They will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Don't worry about him. God will get him. God will deal with him in his own time. There's always a payday for those who go in the wrong direction. You just commit yourself to the Lord and to doing what is right, and God will make your plans work, and He'll bless you in the end. Psalm 40 and verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud or to those who go astray after a lie. Again, Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is a stronghold. It's like going behind a walled city. He's a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. God is good to his people. I want to end this lesson by giving two promises that mean a great deal to me. Two promises that I've come to see to be true. The first one is in James 1 and verse 12. And it says there, blessed is the man who remains steadfast. Now this guy is going through a tough time, but he remains steadfast. He's going to stay the course. He's not going to quit just because things get rough. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test. This word test, the idea of heat and hot things that are hot. It's the word dokimazo, a word that comes from metallurgy, where you put the gold in and all of the bad is burned off, and when it comes out, it's pure gold. And he says, you know what? If you'll stay steadfast and you endure the test, it may get hot all around you. It may be difficult, but if you'll stand the test, if you'll stay with God, you'll stay with God. If you'll say no to those things that are evil and do what is right, then what he says is that person will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And if you love him and stay steadfast, God will be with you. The second one is in Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. And there Isaiah speaks about God, and he says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And then he says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. You put your trust in the Lord, and he'll make you like a stronghold, and he'll be like that rock. Now, we don't think of rock in this part of the world, but I tell you what, a rock was a place where there was shelter. A rock was a place where there was protection in an area that didn't have much else. And God will be that way for you. He'll be there that nothing can move and nothing can change. That's what a big rock is. Unmovable, unchangeable, always there. And God will not forsake you if you seek him. I'm thankful for that. Now, if you trust in the Lord, follow him. Do what he asks. Trusting in the Lord doesn't mean debating with God about what he tells us to do. Trusting in the Lord doesn't mean that we'll go a little ways with him and do what he wants to do a little ways, and then we'll do what we want to do a little ways. It's not a compromise. Trusting in the Lord means we're going to follow him, and wherever he leads us, we're going to go. Whatever he teaches us, we're going to believe. Wherever he sends us, we're going to go because we love him. That's what it means to trust him. It means that we're going to follow him rather than follow people. It's not always easy. The crowd all wants to go a certain direction, but you know if you go that way, it's not going to be the right way. But if you follow the Lord, you do what is right, God will be with you. And that's a part of what it means to trust in him. Now, I can't say that I trust God if I follow the teaching of somebody else. We live in a world that wants to be syncretistic, that is to blend everything. We want a little of this and we want a little of that and we want a little of something else. That's not trusting in the Lord, that's trusting in what you like. I remember there was one admiral who, whenever he retired, he said that he loved his country and he obeyed all the assignments, and he obeyed all of the orders that he was given that he agreed with. Well, he might have been a lot of things, but he wasn't obedient. And I tell you what, if you only obey the orders that you agree with, then you're serving yourself and not serving the Lord.
Think about that a while. You see, every commandment means something. And so how can we say we trust in God if we believe in the excuses of men? And we began to excuse ourselves as if somehow we were different. And the Word of God didn't apply to us the way it applies to somebody else. Oh no, we can't do that. Trusting in God means whatever God says we're going to do and not make an excuse. Trusting in God means that I'm not going to be fighting with God. I'm going to be listening. I'm going to be loving Him. And I'm going to be trusting Him enough to know that whatever He tells me to do will be the right and the best thing for my life. And so when He tells us to repent of our sins, we ought to repent, not make excuses. We ought to repent, not look and see what somebody else is doing. We ought to repent because God expects it, and we trust Him. And you know what? When we do, it'll be a blessing for us to do what is right. And not only with that faith and that repentance, to confess His name and to be baptized if you've not been baptized. The young person who was baptized this morning did the right thing. I hope that if you've never become a Christian, that you'll do the right thing. That you'll not only say, I trust the Lord, but you'll act upon that trust. It's not enough to say, I trust Him, but never act upon that trust. And never let Him take hold of your soul. And when we're baptized, He takes our soul and washes it clean in the blood of Jesus. And when we're baptized, He makes us His child. And when we're baptized, He adds us to His church. And that's what He wants to do for you if you're not yet a Christian. But maybe you're a brother or sister in the Lord, but you've been trusting in other things and you've forgotten God. Maybe this is the time to turn back to Him. And why not do it tonight while we stand and sing?